Hey everyone, Greg Stanwood from Purple Row here. Welcome to the second Spring Minicast. I want to thank those of you who dropped some feedback in last week. I was hoping to do these a bit more frequently than I have been, but unfortunately there haven't been a lot of moments in between my other commitments that presented themselves really nicely to record and edit these. If any of you want me to cover a specific topic, let me know in the comments section, because I might be inspired to do another one more quickly this time. So what to talk about? This week, we've had our first waves of staggered cuts from Major League Camp. We'll cover those a little bit. No real major surprises on that front. Most of what I want to talk about is the outfield battle. Sort of break down why I think it's so complicated, a bit more complicated than a lot of people are giving it credit for. Everyone still seems to have their own opinion about what's going to happen here, but we really just don't know yet, and I think that's really the key to this discussion, that there are enough advantages and disadvantages to each potential decision that really complicate the situation. Really quickly, though, on the infield front, Paul Janisch, I think, kind of remains the most interesting story for me this spring. Josh Rutledge is among the players who's back in action. He spent a bunch of the first 10 days or so of spring training a bit battered up. He was out of commission. DJ LeMahieu hasn't performed notably well either, but has he performed poorly enough to lose a spot on the roster? Not really. Rutledge hasn't had much of a chance to really get going yet, so it's difficult to say if he's played his way out of anything either. Janisch is probably going to need to bump one of these two off the roster if he wants to have a shot. He doesn't have enough history of being an offensive-minded player, and really the standout here, aside from the fact that he hasn't been butchering anything in the infield like Charlie Culberson has, the highlight has really been his offensive production. And so it's going to be interesting if that offensive performance wins him a spot somehow. I think the team is probably going to be disappointed. I'd still rather see, you know, Rutledge or LeMahieu at the plate than I would Paul Janisch. So I still see him as having an uphill battle for a roster spot, but just like I said last time, he's really doing the best he can to keep himself in the conversation. He's standing out so much, and I think we need to keep an eye on the situation, because if a non-roster invitee gets a roster spot, he has as good a chance of anybody right now, I think, except maybe displacing Pacheco, but I still really don't think we know where we are on that front either. So, the most notable cut this week was probably that of Christian Friedrich. That is, unless you bought into the whole Tyler Matzek will break camp in the Rockies bullpen train, which, I mean, please, but Friedrich was actually seen as an outlier for a roster spot going into spring training, but he's now officially out of the running. The Chacin replacement starter competition is down to just Franklin Morales and Jordan Lyles. I still think Lyles is probably in the lead for that spot, but we'll see how he pitches today. We're, I guess, a little over halfway through the spring now, so there's still a fair bit of time left for things to change, but, you know, we're starting to sort of get a real picture of what we're looking at here, except in that outfield battle, seriously. But we'll get there in a minute. Other guys cut. John Gray and Eddie Butler were reassigned today. Not that I expected anything different, but every once in a while, again, this team does something silly. I still believe it truly would have been the worst roster decision I've ever seen this team make since 2006, when I actually started paying attention to this stuff. That is, if they had actually started the season with one of these two. But really, that's neither here nor there. So in addition to Friedrich and Matzek and all those people, several other players that were pretty definitively not breaking camp with the Rockies were optioned. Kyle Parker, Christian Adames, Russell Herrera, Jason Aquino, that sort. Friedrich is using his final regular option year this year. All the rest of them have at least one more left. Friedrich's will burn itself officially right around opening day. But one other note that I posted this in the comments section of the post about this, but Christian Friedrich actually has 4 years of pro service, not five yet, which means that if he actually fails to complete that fifth in 2014, he's eligible to be optioned again in 2015. Speaking of all that stuff, someone suggested that I do a mini cast on the topic of optional assignments and what they are and how they work. I think it's an awesome topic idea. It doesn't really fit into the format, especially not today. I might write a post about it later, or if you really want to hear me and my pretty voice explain it, I will do one of these mini-casts about it later in the week or something. They're complicated, but really pretty easy to navigate once you know the ins and outs. Okay, so let's just talk about the outfield battle, which I think is really the story of the spring. At this point, Drew Stubbs has sort of broken out of the box. He's found his feet. I don't think we're going to be seeing a Tyler Colvin situation where we have an ARB-eligible outfielder playing his way off the roster. Stubbs will be there, which, I mean, I always expected, but now there's no reason to really seriously consider him as even a possible odd man out. We're really still narrowed down to deciding which of Brandon Barnes, Corey Dickerson, Charlie Blackman will be the one out to start the season. And as some of you have probably seen me rambling about before, there really is no obvious solution to this, in my opinion. Everyone who thinks they know what'll happen is being a bit premature, I think. So let's break it down a bit. Performance-wise, if the spring ended today, it'd be Dickerson and Barnes, probably breaking camp. They've both had better springs than Charlie Blackman has, at least on the field. We don't know what the team sees behind the scenes or in drills or what have you. Barnes making the club is potentially advantageous against lefties, where they could, like, double up Stubbs and Barnes in the outfield. That is, as long as they're willing to bump Justin Morneau out of there. But that situation, by the way, Gonzalez, Stubbs, Barnes outfield, pretty wicked defensively. I think that could be possibly a reason to be attracted to that possibility of Barnes making the team. Downside here, though, obviously, is because both Barnes and Stubbs have struggled historically against right-handed pitching, if they want a platoon to counteract this effect, Corey Dickerson would need to play center, since they're totally set on keeping Gonzalez in left at this point. So, for starters, I'm not really so sure that the idea of Dickerson in center field is quite as disastrous as everyone is saying. I mean, we can always make another move later if we need to and bring Blackman up, but you know, people have said Dickerson hasn't seen center field at all this spring. That's not quite true. He played there yesterday, first of all, and then I believe that was actually the third time he's seen center in a game setting this spring. So the team isn't deliberately keeping him out of there. That's sort of a bit of a misidentification of the situation. People have been saying that he wouldn't be able to play center, not just because of his profile, but because the team has been neglecting to put him there. But I think really what they've been doing is getting all three of these guys some variety in different outfield spots. So I wouldn't say that that's really how I would assess the situation. I don't think they're trying to keep him out of center. If anything, the fact that we've seen him three times instead of zero implies that they're really evaluating seriously how well they think he's capable of taking on that role. And plus, there's always a chance that Stubbs just gets most of the playing time anyway, which I still see as a pretty realistic possibility, including if it's this combination of two guys making the team. Now, if the team is worried about platooning Stubbs, then Blackman's the obvious answer, right? He's less splitty in terms of his production. He's a better defensive option than Dickerson. He's really the best fit for a fourth outfielder type in terms of just sheer versatility, you know, in terms of he's a guy who can pinch hit comfortably in just about any situation. He can pinch run and be adequate at it. He can defend and be adequate at it. I think a Blackman Barnes opening with the spots is probably the scenario I want the most, to be honest, with Dickerson available in Colorado Springs if one of them flops. You know, I like the idea of Blackman's presence on the team starting against righties, and also as a bench option of some potential value still against lefties. with us being able to put Barnes and Stubbs in the starting outfield against left-handers. We could also go do a lefty, right, and go with Blackman Dickerson. But the issue there is it really only seems viable if Ryan Wheeler doesn't make the team. If he does, that's too many lefties. at least in my opinion, it's too many lefties. I think right now, Ryan Wheeler is probably in the lead to land that 25th spot, unless we go for 8 relievers. And that's a whole nother mess to worry about. You know, you heard me talk last week about Tom Canely. Big fan. I really want to see him make this team. I want to see the Rockies push him through the season. But it's really going to be tough to do that if they don't go 8 outfielders, because Boone Logan, or sorry, 8 relievers, because Boone Logan is, at least at this point, expected to be ready for opening day. It's not going to take long to stretch him out to where he needs to be a one-inning guy at most. You know, Adam Ottavino is the easiest guy to just cut from that bullpen from an options and payroll standpoint. Still don't think they're going to do that after the year he had last year. Franklin Morales could vacate a spot if he ends up in the rotation. But then again, even if that happens, he's probably headed back to the bullpen as soon as Chacin's healthy. And what happens to a guy like Canely then? You know, we can't send him down. Rule 5. So, it's a complicated situation. There really are a lot of factors here. It isn't just spring performance. And it isn't even just that plus role play in terms of strengths and weaknesses against certain pitchers or certain outfield positions. We also have the fact that the combination of these roster spots is as much likely to be affected by the rest of the roster than it is to affect the rest of it. You know, there's sort of a circle pattern there. You know, what affects what? Where does the chain of falling dominoes actually start? You know, the decisions made about the outfielders would affect the infielders. It would affect, you know, whether you're looking at Ryan Wheeler, whether you're looking at Charlie Culberson. At the same time, those decisions affect the impact of the outfield. You know, like I said, we probably don't want Wheeler, Dickerson, and Blackman all sitting on the bench a lot. So, they're going to have to find a set of players that all work well together in tandem as when you look at the bench as a unit, if you will. So, this is actually probably the most direct competition we've seen in a Rocky spring training in years. There were actually some people who were saying at the start of the spring that they thought the roster was pretty much set. I don't think so. I think this is, if anything, the least set that we've seen the opening roster in many, many years. If only because we have so many players that are sort of right at the cusp of the majors and haven't quite stepped all the way into that tier of talent. Now, some people have suggested, one last thing to talk about here, that we should trade whichever one of the three doesn't make the roster. And I just don't think that's a good idea, especially not right away. Okay, none of these players, even Dickerson, who probably has the most trade value of the three, aren't going to really net us more than possibly an extra bench piece, at least not by themselves. You know, we could package them into something to get something fancier, but now we're not talking about trading an outfielder so much as we are trading for somebody else. We had a really good discussion about this earlier in the week in one of the comment sections about the fact that a lot of people really sort of underrate player storage. A lot of people are sort of caught up in this direct ascent through the minors model, and anything that sort of breaks that rigid going up one year at a time until you reach the majors lineage sort of breaks that pattern. It's a fallacy that it works that way, or that it should. You know, Dickerson probably could still earn some adjustments in the minors. I know a lot of people are really into Corey Dickerson. I'm not one of those people, but I don't deny that he could be a very valuable player. And I do think he has the highest ceiling of the three players in question here, no doubt. At the same time, he sort of fits the bill for somebody who probably could easily have been said to have went through the minor league stage of his career a bit too fast. And, you know, who knows if that's really going to cause him to hit a wall in sort of a Josh Rutledge sense, you know. But you can just counter that argument with, you know, Blackman and Barnes aren't, they're not high-profile enough talents to really grab and hold on to a major league spot, right? They're both guys who will likely see ups and downs from the AAA level to the MLB level their entire careers, even after they leave the Rockies. So, you know, I don't think that I'm all that bothered seeing any of those three play for the Sky Sox for much, if not all, of the season. You know, I think it's a justifiable decision, and I think it's a smart decision to keep which one of those guys is there, because I think any one of these three could flop. You know, if we break with, say, Dickerson Barnes, and we find out pretty quickly that Dickerson just isn't cutting it in the center, and, you know, maybe he hits that wall, and, you know, within 3 or 4 weeks, he's, you know, struggling, and we sort of need to get him settled down a little bit. Perfect opportunity to have a Charlie Blackman type ready to go to throw right back into the fire at the major league level, rather than having to go for a Kent Mathis or Tim Wheeler type, you know. I think stacking that depth, storing that depth, is just as valuable to the team right now as throwing them out there for maybe a bench piece that would be a fit, a backup catcher, a right-handed corner infielder. We would have to be a really good fit for me to really see that trade as a benefit, more so than just hanging on to that player. So that's really pretty much all I had to say about everything this week. Please leave any more feedback that you have. Let me know what you want to hear on the next one. Hopefully I'll at least be able to make 2 of these this week. No promises. We'll see. But if there's anything in particular that you want addressed, you know, drop it in the comments section, and I will do my best. So, thanks for listening. See you next week.